Coming to you from Mainframe Art Studios at 900 Keough Way in downtown Des Moines, this is 900 Views, a podcast about building community through the arts as we build an arts community. I'm your host, Pat Bodie, and today I'm in Gretchen Bowling Design Mainframe Studio number 447, where Gretchen Bowling works on her fashion brand promoting ethical and sustainable design. Gretchen's a graduate of Illinois Institute of Art in Chicago, where she earned her bachelor's degree in fine arts with a focus on fashion design. Now, I have a co-interviewer here today with me, Love T. Toady, who's a senior at Urbandale High School with a very serious interest in fashion. So Love T. will be asking some of the questions today. But to get it started, Gretchen, you say that your mission at GBD, or Gretchen Bowling Design, is to, quote, provide the highest quality sustainably handmade wardrobe for clients and educate them on how to maintain an ethical wardrobe. You go on to mention the slow fashion movement. I'm sure that's something new for many of our listeners, so can you tease that out a little bit? Tell us a little bit more about both ethical wardrobe and slow fashion.
Yeah, so I guess to start, you know, one of the biggest things with the fashion industry in general, and I'm sure you know this, Love T, is that behind the oil industry, it's actually the most pollutant-causing industry in the world, with waste specifically from fabric and all the water that it takes to wash fabric and stuff like that. So with my, you know, business, it's really important to me to be sustainable and ethical, not only with the private label collection that I make by hand, but also, you know, teaching and educating my clients to, instead of throwing out clothing, maybe get it altered and fixed, mended, that sort of thing, so that it can, you know, the life of the clothing can be prolonged and it's not ending up in a landfill, you know, kind of thinking of the life cycle of clothing in general.
How big a lift is this? I mean, how responsive are people to this kind of concept? I personally think it's wonderful. I'm a big conservationist, but tell me how people are reacting.
Actually, I think, you know, right now with the fashion industry, this is kind of the direction that it's going. I think because so many people have made it, you know, just communicated, it's become, people have become aware of the fact that it's bad for the world and for the environment. So people are trying to be, or consumers are trying to be a little bit more conscious of where they're buying their clothing. You know, even if it's from, you know, a brand that, you know, is, you know, well known in a large company, they're going to, you know, put the brand on the spot as to where they're sourcing.
Challenge them
a little bit to where they're doing their manufacturing. You know, are there, you know, employees overseas getting paid a living wage, you know, and the cotton farm, it goes as far back as like the cotton farmers. Are they being, you know, treated healthy, you know, that all the pesticides that they have to spray on that cotton, you know, that's also not an ethical in the sense of their lives are being, you know, affected in that way. So it's another thing to think about, you know, and kind of going back to fast fashion versus slow fashion, you know, now I don't know if you've heard that Forever 21 is going bankrupt, you know, because people are, they're listening to the slow fashion movement. They're not wanting to support as much these companies that don't, I mean, you're buying clothing for, you know, $3 or $4. That doesn't even make sense when you think about it from a design standpoint, the amount of time and amount of resources that it takes to make the clothing. The people that are making it obviously aren't getting paid a living wage, so the consumers are not wanting to support that. I don't know if you can call it a business model, but so, you know, things that you can see the change in that, because these, you know, Forever 21 has been around a long time and a lot of people shop there, but it's gone bankrupt, so that says something.
So Love T, if you want to go into fashion, this should be kind of good news in a way, right?
Yes.
What questions do you have for Gretchen?
So what do you think if y'all had a program for young boys and girls who need support with clothes and things like that?
Okay, so again, kind of going with the sustainable and ethical, you know, model that I do for my business. I also teach sewing lessons, mm-hmm, privately at my studio here. And then, you know, throughout the city and for DMAC and all of that. But one of the main things that I try to do with my private sewing lessons, depending on the goal of the individual that I'm teaching, whether that person wants to go and start their own business and, you know, learn how to make their own clothes and sell them one day, or if it's just somebody that is wanting to, you know, make a Halloween costume or something like that. So, you know, a lot of the private sewing students that I have, you know, I teach at a beginner and advanced or an intermediate or an advanced level. So that is, the beginner is just, you know, kind of like they want to make a project with me. It takes a matter of, you know, 6 hours to do, all the way to advanced, which is, you know, learning essentially what I went to college for. So the sewing, the pattern making, you know, learning how to take body measurements and how to then design your own clothes and create the patterns and sew them, you know, to do whatever you want with them, whether that's sell them or, you know, create for yourself or for, you know, family members. So just, I think offering that to the community for people to be able to learn a craft like that and actually utilize it however they want, you know, whether it's individually or, you know, commercially, that is something that I think does promote, you know, the boys and girls and wanting to kind of further educate themselves on something that can actually be useful in the real world, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about like fashion in Iowa? Because, you know, most people have to order online and things like that. And honestly, I feel like we also need a lot of new, like, you know how you're a very good designer and things. We need like more people like you to come down here and help out, make like more fashion stuff. So what do you think about that?
That's a great question. And actually just a little bit of background on me. I actually moved here from Chicago where I went to school when I started my business. And when I did that, people were like, well, why are you going to Iowa to start a fashion business? That doesn't make any sense.
It sounds like an oxymoron to us. Yeah.
Right.
Like in Iowa.
Going from Chicago to Iowa. But, you know, the way that the industry, the fashion industry is going is there are less people, you know, opening boutiques just because of the cost of rent and that sort of thing. So you don't necessarily need to be in a storefront. And when I moved to Iowa, you know, the focus was, you know, the handmade. I have my studio space here at Mainframe, which has been, you know, the best opportunity that I could have asked for. And there's nothing like this in Chicago or LA or New York, you know, the big fashion capitals in the United States. So just to be able to have the opportunity to grow my business in a sense of affordability is game changing, because if I think about trying to do what I've done here in Des Moines, back in Chicago, I don't think it would have been as successful. And one of the things that I noticed about Des Moines and the fashion scene here is that, yes, it's small, but people are more interested in that slow fashion movement here in Des Moines and in Iowa, and they want to support a small business, a local designer, as opposed to larger cities where you see the trend of, you know, kind of just repping the biggest label or that sort of thing. So in that sense, I think that Des Moines has a great advantage in the fashion industry here. I do believe, you know, like what you said, Love T, you know, getting people to realize that is a little bit challenging, but I think, you know, buildings like Mainframe, which are here to support artists and kind of help get the word out there, will help. And just, you know, the small designers that are here being involved in the community and, you know, trying to get the word out that Des Moines and Iowa does have a fashion scene. You know, we do. And it's, you know, it's a fashion scene that has good values, and, you know, that they want to support the, you know, the slow fashion movement. They want to, you know, it's evident because of what I do and all the students that I have that people are interested in design and sewing and, you know, sustainability in that sense, as opposed to, you know.
Why do you think that's different here than in, say, Chicago or LA or New York?
You know, that's a good question. I think Chicago is still in the Midwest, but it's, you know, it's kind of a melting pot of people from all over. And I think here in Iowa, because we have, you know, the Midwest nice, I guess, people are more interested in the community and supporting it, and they want to see it grow and develop and thrive. Whereas places like Chicago, LA, and New York, they're already thriving. They already have such a scene in any industry, you know, whether that's restaurant, fashion, you know, theater, anything. So you don't see a lot of the smaller businesses because they're being outshone. I don't know if that's the right word to say, but they're being covered by, you know, the Michigan Avenues and the Fifth Avenues and the Rodeo Drives, because that's where people tend to do majority of the shopping, specifically for fashion industries. And I'm not saying that New York and LA and Chicago don't have, you know, a slow fashion movement. They do. It's just, it's, you know, it's nice to be in a place, you know, in Des Moines, where I'm not, you know, being overshadowed so much by the alternative, which is those large brands. And
yeah, because there's a lot of fashion and more popular stuff in Chicago, New York, those bigger states, and it's actually hard to find like your own business down there because it's already crowded, and then you always have to be under that one person that's not going to give you good advice and things like that.
Yeah, it's pretty saturated. And I had some great experiences when I was in Chicago. I worked for a couple of wholesale showrooms, and I was a personal stylist for a while. I had great mentors, but I feel like that goes back to me and my work ethic. You know, you have to kind of know what you want, like you do, and, you know, kind of, you know, go on that narrow path to getting there and kind of figuring out your own way. You know, I didn't go to New York or LA to work for a big design house, because that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to do more the individual small business thing. So that's kind of what I sought out in Chicago while I was there anyway, which was hard. There's not much of it. I mean, there is, but it's a hard market there.
Would you kind of say then that the Des Moines Metro could we call ourselves leader-like in this slow fashion movement, in this sustainable fashion movement?
I think so, and I'm purely going back to, you know, the fact that our community wants to support people like us and the artists that are here at Mainframe specifically. You know, we've got a lot of cool little neighborhoods here, Valley Junction, East Village, which are full of small local businesses that are doing well. You know, both those neighborhoods are growing. Here at Mainframe, I know there's a waiting list of over 100 people for a studio. You know, and every Friday we do an event at the building, and it's always packed, and people are just excited to see that there is this available in Des Moines. And I have people come through my studio on first Fridays, and they're like, wow, I can't believe this is here in Des Moines. This is so cool. Like, you don't see this anywhere else. And it's true, because you don't. There's not really, specifically Mainframe, I know I keep coming back to that, there's not really anything else like Mainframe anywhere else.
One of the things that had occurred to me, and I'm asking you to correct this presumption, because I'm sure based on what you've had to say, it's wrong, but fix it a little bit. Until I met you and we had this conversation, I tended to think of fashion as a little bit more divisive than unifying. In other words, this concept of high fashion, and it's for a certain class of people who can afford it, that kind of thing. You're kind of turning that on its ear a little bit. Reconcile those worlds for me, this high fashion world versus kind of this sustainable, handmade Des Moines version.
That's a great question, too, and one that I used to hear it more, I guess, back when I was first starting, but when people hear the word custom or handmade, they automatically think, oh, I can't afford that, you know, but for me and my business specifically, you know, I still wanted to be able to reach, you know, a wide variety of people, and so I consciously make my clothing affordable, because of the business model that I have. I don't, you know, purchase yards and yards of fabric ahead of time to make anything, which again goes towards the sustainability, because then I'm not just wasting or sitting on a bunch of fabric. And it also allows me to make the cost of the garments that I'm making, you know, a good price point. You know, and speaking of high end, you know, versus, you know, fast fashion versus slow fashion versus sustainable versus secondhand. There's just so much in the fashion industry, and, you know, you see a huge push in the secondhand movement too, which it coincides with slow fashion. It's the same, you know, because people are wanting to repurpose and, you know, shop, you know, thrift and all of that stuff. And it's not like a faux pas like it used to be where, you know, oh, you have to buy your clothes at the thrift store. That's, you know, that means that you don't have money. No, it's just because that's my style and that's how I want to represent it. And I think it's the same thing for slow fashion versus high end, which I guess can sometimes be the same thing depending on what you're specifically looking at. But yeah, it's not as, like you said, divisive in the sense that, oh, custom handmade garment, I can't afford that. No, you just have to find the right place to get it, you know, and I guess just do a little bit of research on the companies too, because some of those high-end companies, they're not, you know, they don't really have, you know, necessarily the sustainable business model, if that's something that's important to you. And it's, you know, when you think of handmade, like for my clothing, it is handmade. It's completely patterned, designed, and cut and sewn by me. Whereas, you know, you're not going to find that even in a lot of custom places. They'll usually take measurements and then have those shipped overseas. Someone else is making it. I mean, it's still handmade, but it's not the... Usually when I have my custom clients that come to me for the handmade custom garments, they know that I'm the one making it. You know, it's not being shipped out. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but.
How does all this kind of translate into community building? How does this world of fashion that we have in Des Moines that's probably a little bit more sustainably led and handmade led translate into us going shoulder to shoulder as a community?
So, you know, the past couple of months, I've done a few different projects which were exciting for the community. One, which is pretty notable, is for the Disability Rights of Iowa. And again, when I guess going back to the divisiveness of fashion, you know, it's becoming more inclusive as an industry with sizing and that sort of thing as we, you know, kind of celebrate the body positivity movement. But you still see a huge gap in the adaptable clothing industry for, you know, people with disabilities. So as far as a community, you know, kind of trying to bring that to the forefront was a good project for me to be involved with. And, you know, we worked with three models that had different disabilities, one which was wheelchair bound, a couple which had, you know, more sensory issues with their clothing that people don't necessarily think about when they're thinking about, you know, shopping. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for them to find clothing that's affordable again, you know, so just being able to, you know, make the community aware of that, I guess, is a good thing and something that was a good community building movement.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, it sounds like a really important thing to do. And I remember being here for a fashion show that I was sick. I didn't know about in advance because Love T would have loved it. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit how that fashion show that was so exciting and full of energy here at one of Mainframe's first Fridays came to be.
Yeah, so that again, I guess, you know, kind of piggybacking with the community here at Mainframe, you know, each first Friday they do a different theme of sorts to focus on to bring the community out and excite it and get excited about the events. And back in September, we did kind of a fashion themed First Friday where there was a runway show that incorporated wearable wreaths from an artist in the building, some jewelry from artists in the building, you know, clothing from myself, music, you know, food, drinks, and then just bringing the community here to celebrate all that, you know, diversity with the different boutiques and things that were showing their clothing, and also to kind of, you know, invite people for other First Fridays within the community and other events that were happening in Des Moines related to fashion. Fashion Week here in Des Moines is a fairly new thing, but that was going on later in the month, so we were able to kind of promote that, which was exciting.
So what are good words to say to someone who are struggling in, like, you know, a fashion class? What will you say to them?
I would say that it takes a lot of hard work and dedication, blood, sweat, and tears. that I still experience sometimes. But if you love it, it's worth it. And just to stick with it, because, you know, it's a really rewarding experience, especially depending on, you know, what it is that you want to provide for your clients, you know. But most of the time with the fashion industry, it's closely related to, you know, self-confidence and body image issues, which is kind of a fun thing to help clients, you know, celebrate and learn to, you know, be proud of what they look like and get excited about what they're wearing. Cause a lot of, you know, a lot of confidence can come from fashion, you know, and on the other side, a lot of, you know, like, ooh, I'm not so sure, insecurities can come from it too. So, you know, just kind of, you know, deciding what makes it important for you and why you love it. And just remembering kind of when you're going through those hard, frustrating times, why you're doing it, you know. But it is a lot of work. And a lot of people don't realize that. And that kind of, I can bring it back to the fast fashion. It's like you're going to be shopping at a place, you know, like Forever 21. I hate to keep dragging them through the mud, but it's, you know, it's just the relative example. And the people that are making your clothing, they're not working in good environments and they're not getting paid. So just kind of knowing that, you know, you can, you know, be a small help in the change of that by promoting, you know, the slow fashion and small business movement.
Well, I want to thank you, Gretchen Bowling, for giving my friend Love Tea Toady some great advice as she pursues her interest in fashion. And I want to remind everybody that what Gretchen was having to say about First Fridays at Mainframe Studios holds true month after month after month, usually 5 to 8 p.m., so please don't miss it. Thank you for listening to 900 Views.